This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you on this Friday in the Lord. It is the day that He has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. We love to use these airwaves for His honor and for His glory, and I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're always doing something at Women of Grace, and I invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. See what's going on. Yes, we're always involved in various kinds of pursuits, as well as making available to you some excellent studies, opportunities to come together with other women to learn more about the great gift of our authentic femininity and how it is that we desire to live that femininity in, through, with, and for our Blessed Mother. Indeed, she is the exemplar for each and every one of us, and as we come to know more about her, we come to know more about who we're called to be. We're never going to be Our Lady, but we are definitely called to be her daughters, and we become her daughters by imitating her virtues, by seeking to live those divine and holy charisms, graces that she presents to us by way of her fiat to God. So that's what we're about at Women of Grace, and I just want you to get out to the website to find out about some of these great opportunities that are available to you. We do it through studies, as I just mentioned to you, but we also do it through opportunities to come together for retreats and conferences. And we do have a conference coming up. Yes, we do. It's a conference retreat/conference. Opportunities for meditation and reflection, reception of the sacraments, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's all in place. But we also have very, very good talks that are given by speakers. And that's what's going to be happening really soon. Yes, indeedy, really, really soon. Our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is going to be taking place at Malvern Retreat House, June 27th and 28th. So, you know, that's just a couple of weeks away, not very many, actually, days almost. So we want to invite you to join us for this beautiful enrichment seminar. June 27th is a Thursday. It begins on that Thursday. It ends about 3 in the afternoon on the Friday. Our guest presenter for this Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is Chris McGregor. Very excited to have Chris with us. I've interviewed her a number of times on television. I've been a fan of Chris's for many, many years. She has a great apostolate that was really a pioneer in podcasting called Discerning Hearts, Discerning Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S. And you can pull down her app. It's a free app. And listen to all of these marvelous interviews that she has done with remarkable people. And I want to tell you that, you know, some of the people that Chris has interviewed are some of the great teachers of the church. I, too, have had an opportunity to interview so many of them. And that's one of the reasons why I like to go to her website, because oftentimes I want to unpack more, you know. I read the books of these good people. I sit there on set with them and interview them. I have an opportunity to ask them all kinds of questions and things. But to get the depth of their teaching, sometimes you need just a slightly different format. And that's what Chris provides for us. So I've had the opportunity of learning and going deeply, deeply into Ignatian spirituality through Father Timothy Gallagher, whom she's interviewed on a variety of topics, including those topics about the exercises. I think that there must be, I don't know, maybe 30 podcasts on that topic that are kind of sequential, that lead you right through. I've listened to all of those. Dr. Anthony Lillis is another one that's out there. My dear friend, Mike Aquilina, is another one who is out there. So many, many good people who really teach us through the format of Discerning Hearts. So I invite you to download that. Well, Chris is going to be with us. Woohoo! I'm really excited. She herself is one who knows much about the spiritual life, and she's going to be presenting on Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within. Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within. So she's going to be taking us into the topic of what is mysticism. You know, how do we define that? What are its characteristics and markings? What about these particular saints? In what way did the divine and holy grace that they were receiving, how was it manifested in them? How can we benefit from it? And she'll be looking at specific women saints as we dive into this very I want to say, intriguing topic. So I'm so looking forward to this. I'm going to be a student right along with you, learning from what Chris has to share with us. So that's June 27th and 28th at Malvern Retreat House. Now, it's followed immediately on June 28th. I say immediately, registrations at 3 o'clock. We have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I believe it's at 5. And then we have we go to dinner. And our evening begins. So that our retreat runs from June 28th through noon on June 30th, right? So it's the Friday evening, all day Saturday, and part of the day on Sunday. A beautiful, beautiful theme, Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. That's the theme. Isn't that great? Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. Chris will be presenting on Friday evening about St. Faustina and the mysticism of Faustina. I can't wait to hear that talk. And Father Ken Geraci is coming back because you wanted him and I did too. And we invited him and he said yes. His provincial agreed and boom, here we are. So he's going to be with us. He's going to be talking about divine mercy and the spiritual combat that we face. Now, this pertains obviously to our spiritual life, but it also pertains to the challenges that we face. It pertains to the trials that come our way. It pertains to our family life. You know, families are under attack today. What does the divine mercy have to do with that? What does it have to do with the corporate struggle that we're engaged in today as the society of man, especially as represented by this very post-truth culture in which we are living right now? So what does divine mercy have to do with it? What's our call and mission in light of that? Father's written a beautiful book about it. I interviewed him on that book. It was really exciting. And I can honestly tell you that I know that what he's going to be sharing with us is going to be inspirational, but it's going to be instructional and informative and applicable to your everyday life. And I will be presenting on the reality of divine mercy in our life, the crucible of new life that it offers us. So it's just going to be wonderful. And if you've ever been to any one of our events, you know that there's abundant graces that flow in them and through them. We want for you to join us there at Malvern Retreat House. All of the information is available for you there at our website, womenofgrace.com. Now, when we come back, more with Women of Grace live today, but we're not taking your calls. I'm going to just be chit-chatting with you about a number of things after the break here. So please do stay tuned. Join us, join us, join us. We're looking forward to having this time with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Coming right back, stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Men of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. We love being with you Monday through Friday, so I invite you to set your calendar, set your clock, set your phone. I don't know. However it is that you receive, you know, those little timers that tell you, oop, it's time for something wonderful. Do set it and join us Monday through Friday for Women of Grace Live. Do want you to know that all of our radio programs are archived for you out there at EWTN.com. Now, all you need to do is to go out to EWTN.com and go to radio, and you'll be able to find them there. I also want to mention to you a really, really useful and helpful aid that EWTN provides to us, and that is the app. The EWTN app is free for you at wherever it is that you go to purchase or download your apps. This is a free app. It is chock full of fantastic features that help you to live that abundant life and to share it with others. One of them has to do with radio programming. You can listen live, get that. You can listen live to EWTN radio on your phone. You can be outside exercising. You can have your AirPods in your ear and walking through the grocery store doing your shopping, not missing a beat with what's going on EWTN radio. So I invite you to download that app. You can also watch EWTN television live on your phone. I don't really recommend you do that though while you're driving or, you know, I mean, walking. You've got to pay attention to where you're going. But all of that being said, it's a marvelous aid. So what do you do though when you want to hear a broadcast that's been on EWTN radio, but it's over, right? Well, you go out to that EWTN app, you open it up on demand. You'll see a feature there called On demand. And you click on that on-demand feature, you scroll to radio. When you get to radio, click, and then scroll. What do? I think that you swipe to the left, go all the way to the end, because all of the programs are listed alphabetically, and Women begins with a W, just like Williams, and it comes at the end of the alphabet. So you will find Women of Grace, the last offering in the on-demand. Click on that, and all of the programs that you have missed will pop up there so you can listen. So, it's a beautiful, beautiful feature. We invite you to share that good news with your neighbors and your friends because you know what? We're all called to evangelization, and we might talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But I want to do something else right now. I surely do. Guess what this is? It's the Friday before Father's Day, right? Friday before Father's Day. So first of all, I want to encourage you to pray for your father. Pray for the man who gave you your biological life, right? Pray for him. In addition to praying for your father, however, I want you to recognize him. If he is living on this day, I certainly would love for you to reach out to him. Hopefully, you've already got a card in the mail to him if he doesn't live nearby. Or you'll use your phone and you'll give him a call today and tell him how much he means to you, how it was that his own life was an inspiration to you, if that is the case. Now, if your father is deceased, I want for you to pray in a special way for him. Yes, I do. I invite you, as a matter of fact, to go back to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can have a mass celebrated for your dad, for the repose of his soul. Right there on the homepage, click, you'll see it. It's right there. It says want a mass or need a mass. Click on that, and up will come an opportunity for you. It is a beautiful way to remember your dad who's gone on to his eternal reward on Father's Day. So I invite you to use that feature. If your father is one who has been estranged to you, he certainly needs your prayer. And though he's still living, you can have a mass celebrated for him as well. And so I invite you to use that feature if, in fact, your relationship with your father has been one that is strained throughout the years. In all of these ways, you know, we fulfill that mandate from the fourth commandment. It's a funny little thing. You know, we don't necessarily reflect on the commandments often enough. We should. We should, because we should be using them to make a good examination of conscience before we go to confession. But unfortunately, I think that we don't think about them very often. I don't know that we do a daily examination of conscience. The fact of the matter is we should. We should do all of these things. But you will remember that fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And in Scripture, when that's expanded upon, there's a promise connected to that. You know, honor your father and your mother, and you'll receive blessings, right? Good will come to you when you honor your father and your mother. Now, notice that that commandment doesn't talk about what kind of a father you had or what kind of a mother you had. Maybe you didn't have the best mother. Maybe you didn't have the best father. But there's no exemption from honoring them. Because if nothing more, these two individuals, your mother and your father, brought you into the world. Yes, you are the product of their union. And for that, there's cause for rejoicing, no matter what the circumstances were or are with your parent. The fact of the matter is we're called to honor our father and our mother. So I really want to encourage you to consider that. The other thing, not only is there no exemption for the type of parent that we had, but there's also no exemption on age. You know, it doesn't say like honor thy father and thy mother until you're 18. Honor thy father and thy mother until you're 21. Honor thy father and thy mother until you're 50. There is no limitation of time on honoring our parent. Not only according to our age as though there are no, you know, limitation on time, but there's also no limitation on time in terms of the reality of time. It doesn't say honor thy father and thy mother until they die, right? It says honor thy father and thy mother. This is why I encourage you, if your father has passed on, your mother for that matter too, you know, have a mass celebrated for them. Have a novena of masses celebrated for them. If in fact you know that they were not living good lives, my goodness, they need your prayer more than anything. That is one of the ways in which you fulfill that fourth commandment. So I really want to encourage you to honor your father on this Father's Day. It is lovely that we do have a national day set aside where we honor our father and, you know, Mother's Day when we honor our mother. These are beautiful, beautiful, references to the Judeo-Christian ethos that we find all tied up in that fourth commandment. Nationally, we're encouraging people to honor their parents in a day and a time when, you know, the fact of the matter is there's not much respect for office today. There still seems to be a respect for the office of parents. And I'm glad about that. It might be one of the final vestiges that we have in this culture that reminds us that, in fact, this culture was formulated upon a Christian ideal. That being said, I want to encourage you in that direction. So to all of you fathers out there listening right at this very moment, happy Father's Day to you from Women of Grace and from me in particular. I appreciate the great gift that you have given to the world in bringing your child to life. You know, we live in a day and a time where it is not guaranteed that a child that is being carried in the womb, even if that child is carried to full gestation, is going to be born alive. No guarantee. So all the more reason that we respect our parents and honor them for choosing the ways of God over the ways of the world in reference to our conception, in reference to the child bearing, the gestation period, and in reference to bringing us to the fullness of life. So all of that being said, once again, what do I want to say? Congratulations, dads. Happy, happy Father's Day to you. So, I want to talk with you a little bit about, this culture that we're living in. It's a favorite theme of mine, and I certainly hope that you don't tire of it, you know, because we are living in contentious times, and I think it's important to find our way through them. So I'm going to read to you again, proclaim to you, really, one of the beautiful scripture passages that is a favorite of mine that comes from Timothy. I read it often. I read it for you a lot on the air, but I also read it for me. You know, when I'm proclaiming the good news to you, I'm proclaiming that good news to me too. And I need to be reminded, because you know the story of the frog, right? In the kettle, you know, you put a frog into cold water in the kettle and you turn the heat on and the frog acclimates to that temperature. But what he doesn't realize is that at some point in time, he's going to get boiled alive in that very, very hot water. Well, you see, we're kind of like in that. We are in the water of this, our day and time. And the temperature on this cultural water has been increasing over many, many years now. It's really been increasing over generations. Maybe we'll get into the history a little bit. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it has been increasingly getting warmer, hotter in this culture. And if we're not aware of what's going on around us, we are going to find ourselves scalded to death. Spiritual death by way of this culture in which we live. It's insidious. It seeps into our consciousness. It seeps into our thought processes. It seeps into our worldview. And we can begin to convince ourselves, I think because we're all fallen by way of original sin's residual effects, if we're baptized, the sin itself is expunged. But the tendency to sin, the concupiscence remains. That's the residual effect, right? So there's like a little crack in the edifice of our being, right? And the more that we cooperate with the things of the world, the more that we cooperate with the things of the evil one, the wider that crevice, grows, and to the point where eventually the entire edifice is destroyed. And we can find that can happen to us because of that residual effect. You know, we are really open to the suggestion of the world and we've got to fight against it. We're very open to rationalizing. I don't know if you have a problem with that, but I can tell you that rationalization is one of the chief causes that we fall into deep sin. I know it was that way in my own life. You know, I can rationalize my way into anything. I can rationalize my way out of anything. And I think that we're all very good rationalizers. We're living in a day and time where nothing is really based on truth. Nothing is based on fact. There is no fact. Everything is relative. In the view of the world, there's nothing immutable. What does immutable mean? Unchanging and unable to change. Not even the sex with which we were born do we consider to be immutable or to have relevance for us in our lives or to be an informant of who we truly are? You know, so we've rationalized our way into ideologies that are very far removed from sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. And I have to say, ideologies that are very far removed from the entirety of the human experience and ideologies that will lead us to true happiness and fulfillment. Because we're only going to be truly happy, we're only going to be truly fulfilled to the extent that we are living out the reality of who we have been made to be. You know, and of course that's spoken by way of the body, because we're incarnate beings. We are made of flesh and blood, right? So this is the reality. So we have to be very cautious lest we become suspect to the wily tactics of the evil one and the toxic messages that are in our midst today. And so, you know, an examination of conscience, like we were talking about earlier on, is a very, very good way to safeguard ourselves. You know, we have to do an examination of conscience for our own health. I mean, it's like going to the doctor, right? I mean, you know, probably you get a physical. I'm hoping you get a physical at least once a year. When you're not feeling well, you go to the doctor, right? We need to do that on a spiritual level too. And the examination of conscience is sort of like, you know, going to the doctor. It's going to the truth. It's going to the one who is the doctor of all things, God, you know, going to him and seeing, how do I size up? You know, we look at our blood pressure, we look at our temperature, you know, we look at other things, right, to kind of determine if we're in good health or not good health. Well, what is the standard by which we measure our spiritual health? We measure it by way of the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. So, you know, to look at those areas that are lacking in our life is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. As a matter of fact, it's a necessary thing if we want to grow in union with God. So, you know, we've got to look at the day and time that we're in. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes need to be reminded of that. I mean, I do what I do. You know, I do television. I do radio. I go out and I talk. I read books. That all comes by way of the position that God's placed me in. And that's a wonderful thing. But I have to remind myself, you know, outside of those formal ways of inculcating truth, I have to remind myself, you know, when I'm listening to, you know, the news, for example, I've got to be wary. I've got to watch, you know, I've got to be measuring against the standards of good spiritual health. The Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, is what I'm hearing here reasonable? Is it logical? Does it make sense? Is this outside of the will of God? Is this truly compassion for my fellow man? Or is this some way to excuse a behavior that I really don't want to get involved in for one reason or another? We do that within our families, right? We'll tolerate really objectionable behavior because, well, I just want to keep the peace. Well, you know what? That is not really a Christian perspective at all. It's the perspective of the world. To go along to get along. I mean, Jesus didn't do that, did he? He confronted the Pharisees for their sake when they were out of line. He corrected his apostles and disciples for their sake when they were out of line, right? And so we have an obligation and a duty and a responsibility to do likewise for those we love and, you know, for the world in which we live, to be a clarion call. To be one that proclaims the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ in season and out of season. It's not always easy. But, you know, where does it say in Scripture that the Christian life is easy? I don't see it anywhere. When Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the things of the world? Is he proclaiming some kind of a prosperity gospel? Do this and I'll give you this. No. The abundant life is life in him. And so we look to our Lord to determine what is the abundant life. And when we look to our Lord to determine what the abundant life is, what was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? Was it a life of luxury? Was Jesus some kind of a fat cat? No. He didn't have a pillow to lay his head on. For the Son of Man, there is no place to rest his head. He was brutally attacked by the people of his own day and time, both through the slashing that occurs through what they said about him, but also by way of the scourging that he experienced at the pillar. So Jesus was no fat cat. The abundance of life that he promises us is entry into his life. And his life is the Paschal mystery, passion, death, and resurrection. But the joys, the pleasures, the satisfaction, the grace that comes by way of it cannot be matched by any kind of sensation that this world could offer us. So what is that passage I want to get to? And is she going to get to it? That might be in your mind. Yes, I will, after the break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Today, we're not taking calls. I'm just chit-chatting with you today. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you on this Friday in the Lord. It is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and being glad in it. Yes, we certainly are. Once again, just a happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. May God bless you in abundance. May your paternity be a reflection of the paternity of God the Father. That is who you're called to be. Yes, indeed. That is who you're called to be. How do you find out about the fatherhood of God? You find out by looking to the one who makes the Father present, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. As he did, so should you. And I pray abundant blessings on you. I pray for the capacity of mind, heart, and spirit for you to achieve that all that God desires that you achieve in your paternity, both your biological paternity of your children, but also in your spiritual paternity of your children. Do want to remind you once again about our upcoming Women of Grace retreat that's taking place at Malvern Retreat House. The retreat itself begins on June the 28th. That's Friday. It will start in the evening. Well, actually, it starts with Mass at 5 p.m. Then we go into dinner, and then we start with this beautiful, beautiful weekend. We're going to start with some praise and worship. We've got Living Praise coming. They're going to be presenting. I'm going to be presenting. Father Ken Geraci is going to be presenting. Chris McGregor is going to be presenting. We are going to just, enter so deeply into the divine mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be thrilling on every level. I can tell you, we've got a beautiful time prepared for you. If you need to get some of the glory of the Lord, well, then get under the spot where the glory pours out. And it's going to be pouring out there at Malvern Retreat House beginning June 28th and running through noon on Sunday the 30th. We're also going to have a Young Women of Grace Retreat Day in the midst of it. So Saturday, June 29th, we will have a Young Women of Grace Retreat Day. So moms, bring your daughters, eager for you to bring them. It's going to be lovely. Now, if you're flying in, yes, your daughter can come to our evening event Friday night and also join us on Sunday. But on Saturday, she will have her own track. She'll have the Young Women of Grace track that she will be involved in. And I can tell you, she's going to have a blast. She might not think she's going to have a blast, but I can assure you she will. She's going to meet other young women. They're going to engage in great holy conversation. They're going to engage in crafts. They're going to be, I think, really, really amazed at what God has in store for them through this Young Women of Grace Retreat Day. So please be sure to bring them. Now, the retreat itself is preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. I was telling you about that earlier. Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts is going to be presenting on the theme Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. It's going to be amazing. That starts Thursday, June 27th at about 9 in the morning. It's going to run until probably, I don't know, dinner time on June 27th. And then we have a little evening repast planned for the women. And then it will pick up again on Friday morning, run from about 9 until about 3. And it's going to be beautiful. I can tell you, it's wonderful. And what a topic, Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. The retreat theme, Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. My goodness, we're going to find out why Divine Mercy is essential for this moment in the history of man. So I'm encouraging you to check it out. One other thing I just want to mention to you too, if you are interested in a certification in Catholic women's leadership, let me tell you that Women of Grace is offering such a certification through our Benedicta Institute for Women. I certainly do invite you to check it out. You can get all of the information about the Benedicta Institute at our website. You can come just for the spiritual enrichment without, really a plan to be certified. But each of the courses that you take have credit hours attached to them. And those equivalency credit hours will count towards the certification. You need 24 altogether. It's all explained to you on our website. So go out to womenofgrace.com, read about it. But we are going to have an online course called Essentials on Carmelite Spirituality coming up this summer. I have already signed up for it. I'll be a student along with everybody else that signs up. It begins on Monday, July the 8th, and it closes out on Sunday, August the 11th. Now, I think that that Sunday date is really just for you to get the last little thing squared away that you need to turn in. This is not a course that is riddled with papers that you have to write or tests that you have to take. We do have quizzes, but the quizzes are mostly for our benefit. They're not letter graded. It's to let us know how much of the material we're absorbing, or maybe where we need to ask a question of Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who is, in fact, our presenter. He is a PhD in philosophy and theology, teaches at Sacred Heart Major Seminary there in Detroit. He is our academic advisor. So it's Essentials, the Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality. You can sign up right online there. We hope that you do. So get out there and check it out. Well, prior to our break, we were talking about, the world in which we live today, and we were talking about the misery of the situation that we find ourselves in. But we're not called to be miserable. We're not called to be miserable. We are called to be more than conquerors. We are called to be the knights in shining armor of our day and time. And there is much in the literature of the church that talks about this moment. Much, much, much. One of my favorite spiritual enterprises is reading and praying the treatise written by St. Louis de Montfort called True Devotion to Mary. And in there, he talks about the saints of the latter days, not the Latter-day Saints. He talks about the saints of the latter days. And he says that they're going to be taller than the cedars of Lebanon, taller than many of the great saints who have preceded them in time. Well, there's only one reason why we're going to need to see these kinds of saints. It's going to be because the times are so contentious. And the need for them is so great. And then we have, we're talking about divine mercy, this revelation of God's mercy through the heart of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say a little word here. The Sacred Heart of Jesus and the divine mercy image are not in competition with each other. Remember, it's the same Lord. And he's giving us the same message, really, only in a certain sense, to a fuller extent. But if you go back in time, if you go back through church history, you go all the way to sacred scripture, and you're going to discover that 156 times in sacred scripture is the word heart used in reference to the innermost part of the human person. 156 times used in that specific sense, the innermost part of the human person. So, when we talk about the heart of Jesus, what is Jesus revealing to us? Well, it's scriptural to say that he's revealing to us the innermost aspects of his heart. In other words, the seat of his being, the seat, S-E-A-T, of his being. He's revealing to us, offering us his own divine and human personhood, engaging us in that. He's pouring the fullness of hypostatic union out for us. And where do we see that most profoundly? Most profoundly. We see it most profoundly in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not part of Jesus. It's all of Jesus. It's the whole Christ. You're receiving the whole Christ, and Christ is hypostatic union, true God and true man. He's giving you everything. And it's so interesting, too, because if you recall the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano, when a Basilian monk, I think it was in the 800s, was doubting the real presence. There he was, a priest, celebrating Mass. And with every consecration, he's feeling what he's feeling like he's lying because he's got all of these doubts. And he's really struggling. And he asks God to help him. And on a particular day of a particular year, he elevates the host at the moment of consecration. And the host turns into flesh. Turns into flesh. And the wine into blood. Now, that's in the 800s. To this day, that Eucharistic miracle continues to exist. It is a constant reminder to us that we are receiving the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1970s, there were miracles that were performed, there were scientific studies that were performed, investigations, examinations of the Eucharistic miracle in Lanciano. And what was revealed was that this indeed was flesh, but it was heart flesh. It was myocardium tissue. Imagine such a thing. Indeed, Jesus gives us his heart. So, you know, this great reality is an amazing thing to consider. And I've been doing really a little study and, you know, what's coming forth. And you're kind of getting a preview, perhaps, of one of the talks that I'll give at Malvern, and I'm not really quite sure if I will or not. But anyway, it seems as though when you find it, you know, you see it in sacred scripture 156 times, really defining for us what heart means in scripture. Then you see it again, at a very poignant moment when the beloved disciple rests his head on the breast of Jesus. And then we come there's more of this. Our Lord is hanging on the cross. He expires. And Longinus, the soldier, the centurion at the foot, takes his lance and pierces the side of our Lord, going up into that whole area of his heart, and blood and water gush out. Church fathers tell us that the water represents the sacrament of baptism. The blood represents the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? His heart is being poured out for us in that moment in ways that can bring us to experience the graces of that heart. Baptism, which takes us into relationship with him, and the sacraments, which nourish and feed that relationship with him. It's really quite incredible, right? And then you can kind of fast forward and, you know, I'll take us to the 1200s. And then there's St. Gertrude. And St. Gertrude was a mystic saint. I'll bet you that Chris is going to talk about St. Gertrude. I don't know, but I'll bet you she will. St. Gertrude was a mystic saint, lived in the 1200s. And our Lord, visits her. But so does St. John, the beloved disciple. And she asks St. John about why it is that he didn't write in his gospel about that moment when he lays his head on Jesus' chest and hears that beating heart. My gosh, imagine hearing the heart of Jesus beating, and you know it's beating for love of you. He's just told you, the Lord has just told the apostles about that he was going to be betrayed and he was going to be crucified. And there the beloved disciple rests his head on Jesus' breast as a sign of consolation. But who is being consoled? John's being consoled. He hears that beating heart of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is going to expire for love of him, and that heart will stop beating for love of him. And may I say, for love of you too, and for love of me. It's an incredible reality, isn't it, though? And he answers her, and he says, because the heart of our Lord was meant for the end times. Isn't that incredible? Was meant for the end times. And we can kind of move forward in history, and we know what happens. You know, 300 years later, we have the Protestant Reformation. The church is split, right? How the heart of God must have ached. And then we see what transpires there. And we proceed forward from that schism, right? We proceed forward. And then, here's the heart of our Lord, meant for the end times in a certain way. Now we're beginning, you know, the serious trend towards where we are now. And then we begin to move forward to the late 1600s, 1670, when Jesus appears to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And he tells her that this gift of his heart, this revelation of his heart, is meant for the end times. And what then breaks out shortly after that beautiful, beautiful gift to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque of the Sacred Heart? The French Revolution, right? We've got the Age of Reason that's really seeping in those late 1600s, proceeding forward. And then we have the French Revolution, which is the outgrowth of that Age of Reason or Age of Enlightenment. It goes by both of those names, where man repudiates God and puts himself at the center of the universe. We're really quite well back there, aren't we, again? And then what happens? Time moves forward. We live in the misery of what happens. And then we have what? Another outgrowth of the Age of Reason. It comes by way of Marxism. And this begins to happen in the late 1800s. And we come like to the 1900s. And Jesus comes again. And he appears now with the blood and the water pouring forth from his heart. And he appears to Saint Faustina. Marxism is rampant now. Not only Marxism, but Nazism. And he says, these are the end times. And so, you know, we look at this and we see this and we realize, oh my goodness. So we are later now, you know, we're what, 80 years later than when he appeared to Faustina, saying that this is a time of great mercy. if I can, to get under the spot where the glory pours out. To get underneath what is flowing forth from the heart of Jesus Christ, right? Because that's going to be the way in which we are able to be, one, protected from the misery of the day and time, but also to be those saints that we talked about all the way early on about Louis de Montfort, right? To be those great saints that rise higher than the cedars of Lebanon. And so, you know, it's important for us to remind ourselves of what it is that we're in right now, to remind ourselves of the horror of the day and time, not to be downcast about it, though, but to be invigorated by it, to allow ourselves to be infused with a holy zeal that God wants to gift us with through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be those individuals that go out into the milieu and preach the truth when it's convenient and when it isn't. And so, you know, St. Paul talks about this in his second letter to St. Timothy. And you've heard me speak about this so very, very many times. And he talks about the godlessness in the last days. He says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligate, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Boy, is that a description. Holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. And then he says this, avoid such people. Avoid such people. Avoid such people. Why? Because if we open ourselves up to the tune that they're playing on their toxic instruments, then we are going to become subject to that toxin. We're going to become subject to the ideology of the day and time. We're going to be that frog with the temperature heated up a whole lot, and we're going to be cooking from the inside out. We're going to be cooking in the soup of a miserable, miserable worldview, a worldview that is completely devoid of God, completely devoid of the Spirit of the living God. We're going to be living in that same poverty of soul that existed during all of those times when man was moving away from the fullness of truth in God, no matter which period of time that occurred in. And of course, in our own memories, many of us can go back and begin to trace in contemporary times this heating up of the temperature of an immorality and an infatuation with the notion of relativism and rationalization. So he goes on and he says, avoid such people. You know, it was interesting because recently I was at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was there for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and I was talking about the Sacred Heart, and I was reading this very same passage, and I came to that very same sentence where it says, avoid such people. And afterwards, Father Michael Thomas came up to me and he said, you know, John, my fourth grade teacher, I don't know if it was his religion teacher or not, she was a religious, he said, used to tell something to us children. Now, fourth grade, you're 9 years old. And he said, she used to say, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Isn't that wise? Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. We can expand that. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Show me what you watch on TV and I'll tell you who you are. Show me what you watch, you know, on social media and I'll tell you who you are. Show me the books that you read and I'll tell you who you are. Show me the kind of music you listen to and I'll tell you who you are. Show me the kinds of entertainment you engage in and I'll tell you who you are. We don't want to allow ourselves to become victims of the day and the time. We're not called for that. We're called to be the saints of these latter days. We're called to stand apart, to be a sign of contradiction by the witness of our life, and yes, when necessary, by the words that we say, by admonition and correction, always coming from a place of love, but nonetheless, absolutely necessary to be said. So, you know, he says that to his apostle there, his disciple, avoid such people. He says, for among them are those who make their way into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. So I've got to leave it there because you hear the music. Go on and read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read into chapter 4, which I was just quoting from. Because God has a word for you in it. And you are meant to be the representation of his word, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the world today. Always great being with you again, Fathers. Happy Father's Day to you. God bless you all. Bye-bye now.
Excellent, ma'am. Thank you.
Okie dokie.
All right, I'm going to go set up your backup shot out here. I'll be back in just a moment.
And how much time do we have?
Oh, you have a lot of time. 3 minutes.
Okay, thanks.
All right, see you in a minute.
Okay, thanks.